Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Wow. Wow. Was that a feisty press conference there? First time I feel like you've seen Dan Quinn angry, upset, irritated. Yep. With his responses. I wanted to give you my take. We'll play some of it again for you guys. If you want to chime in, we'd love to hear your thoughts on that. 833-804-0910. I think my opening statement to Dan Quinn's message to the media here was, there's a lot going on that's out of my control, and it's starting to piss me off. Number one, Brian Robinson. It's an excused absence. He's not at practice today. He wasn't at the game on Saturday. They hope to have a resolution soon. He's pissed off about that situation. He would have liked Brian Robinson just played, Brian Robinson just have practiced, and then he could have evaluated the talent and cut the guy that he didn't think was good enough. Instead, the agents got involved, and now there's drama with Brian Robinson. Terry McLaurin is in line to return to play out of the rehab phase, said the ankle's healthy. What goes into return to play? Speed, acceleration, deceleration, being able to go through the route trees. Dan was basically saying Terry McLaurin doesn't have the conditioning yet right now. And that makes sense because he hasn't been out there with his guys. Trey Amos, who missed the game over the weekend, is back at practice. Brandon Coleman's back, and that is huge because it's been a while. I spoke with Brandon Coleman the first time I went to training camp. When I went back after the first preseason game for the joint practice and the other day of the walkthrough, he was not there. Brandon Coleman was not out there on the field. He was rehabbing. Good to have him back. Cosme status. He's hitting his marks. I don't know about you, Stubb, but from what Dan, his long explanation about Cosme, I kind of think it's unlikely he's ready for week one. And I think that was kind of the case all along, that it would have been, it was a long shot for him to get ready. And then Dan Quinn got upset about too many McLaurin questions. I understand that. That eventually there's going to be a breaking point. You guys think I'm tired of talking about McLaurin? How about the head coach, Dan Quinn? He just wants to talk about the guys on the field. Interesting that practice tomorrow, Thursday, August 21st, will have referees. That is when you were going to have the joint practice with the Ravens. So maybe they already had the refs booked. Maybe they're going to have their own inter-squad scrimmage with the referees. I think they're going to get some real work in tomorrow. Today's practice is going to be a nothing burger. The big story is, where's Waldo? Is Terry McLaurin out there? Tomorrow, there should be some serious news coming out of practice. Who looked good? Who looked bad? Who's out there getting first-team reps at running back? First-team reps at wide receiver? Tomorrow's going to be a big practice. I think that was one of my takeaways from Dan Quinn. There was a very good question by Adam Kilgore of the Washington Post. Why was Terry McLaurin given an excused absence from the game? Dan Quinn danced around that answer and did not answer it at all. Yeah. Another part of why I can understand his frustration. It's certainly not ideal, the amount of guys they've had to shuffle in and out of the offensive line. But like I said, Coleman being back is good. I'd be surprised if Cosby makes it back. But, you know, Dan Quinn's silver lining is, well, next man up. And he mentioned Chris Paul and having some of the backups ready. I think that is a good news there, is that you have more solid backups on the offensive line this year than you did last year. And the offensive line, starters and backups, the entire offensive line room is better this season than it was last season. But bunch of injuries, he was able to update on us, give us an update on that. I did like how he was talking about who's a pro's pro in the running back room. We had heard and seen Austin Eckler's professionalism all of last year. I mean, Brian Robinson came out multiple times and was like, yeah, Eckler keeps me on track. That guy just gets it together and works. He grinds. There's no, like, joking around. Unless he's at the Super Bowl and I'm tossing him a chicken wing with Bounty. He is a no-joke guy. He's getting ready to work. McNichols, like, I think McNichols and Eckler could be our running backs this year with Rodriguez and Jacory Kruski-Merritt splitting carries. I think it's more likely Eckler and McNichols are active week one, and then it's they choose between C-Rod and Bill. I think Eckler and McNichols are 90% both going to be active week one, and you'll just choose between C-Rod and Bill, and it's hard to choose Bill when C-Rod had a really good performance. He's exciting, but you know what you're going to get from Rodriguez. Position groups that have been challenging for him to evaluate, tight end, running back are easy ones. Safety was interesting for me because that was Dan Quinn kind of talking about Jeremy Reeves. Joe Witt Jr.'s talked about Jeremy Reeves. I spoke with Jeremy Reeves. This is a kid who's like been through it all in Washington. Good seasons, bad seasons, awful seasons, made a Pro Bowl as a special teams ace. And I think it is really cool that like this coaching staff, unlike the previous one, is giving him an opportunity to win a job on the defensive side of the ball. And when they play with three safeties, I do think it's going to be Quan Martin, Will Harris, and Jeremy Reeves. But that was head coach Dan Quinn kind of dealing with what I thought was his most difficult press conference since taking the job. You know, he certainly was upset about the amount of McLaurin questions he faced. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now 105.1 FM. We'll drive down Richmond Highway with the Czar, Gary Hess, coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, it's Wednesday at 2:15, which means it's time to welcome in the Czar, Gary Hess.
How's it going, man?
What's up, dude? How are you?
I'm fine. It was good seeing you Saturday. I thought it went great.
Yeah, it is officially football season. Now, we kicked it off at AWOD's Football Festival. Let's get in the car and drive.
How are the roads looking?
Get out of the way, damn it! time for a drive down Richmond Highway with Gary Hess, sports director and the voice of high school football in Richmond, Virginia.
I understand there's traffic. You need to plan for that.
Let's drive down Richmond Highway with Gary Hess on AWOD Radio.
So yeah, it was great to get you on stage and preview the football season. It's here. You ready to unveil the preseason coaches poll coming out soon?
That's coming out on Monday. I've been communicating with the coaches on our panel and putting together, you know, it's a coaches poll and we have 20 coaches. It's either, I think it's 17 local head coaches, one assistant coach, and then two athletic directors who used to be head football coaches. So that's our voting panel, plus Lane and Sean and me and Coach Criswell and a couple other media types. So that poll is going to be unveiled on Monday. Votes are coming in. And, yeah, I think I see what the trends are going to be. I think it's pretty clear that Verina is going to be preseason number one. The Blue Devils played for the Class 4 state championship last year and look to be better than they were a year ago, believe it or not. So they're going to be a handful, and we'll see what happens.
You know, when I was at ACC kickoff, I spoke with a few players that were in college but went to Highland Springs, and they spoke so highly of Lauren Johnson preparing them for the next level.
Yeah, you know, Coach Johnson has built a program there, and I will say, he's not the only one that does this, but I have actually been in the coach's office, been inside that program, and seen what goes on. Preparing those kids for the next level, helping them get opportunities at the next level, but also preparing them for adulthood, for being a man, for being, you know, a functioning member of society. Some of the things that go on there are just amazing. And they're not the only ones. I mean, I want to say I could go on and on with stories of coaching and coaching staffs and the differences they make in the lives of these kids. And, yeah, it's amazing to see what happens. And, you know, and Coach Johnson's going to have two of his own kids play, not Highland Springs kids, his own kids playing in the ACC this fall, one at Wake Forest and one at Virginia Tech.
You know, as we're approaching high school football season, why don't you remind the audience of some of the best rivalries we have here in the 804?
You know, I think Verina Highland Springs definitely comes to mind. The Battle of Chester, for sure, between L.C. Byrd and Thomas Dale. And then you kind of go under the surface a little bit, and you got there's a bunch. I mean, Hopewell and Petersburg are longstanding rivals. You look at, you know, and then there are rivalries that are, you know, Patrick Henry and Lee Davis, Mechanicsville High School, you know, for years they were the only two schools in Hanover County, and that game's called the Tomato Bowl for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
You know, and Atlee came along and Hanover came along, so there are rivalries there as well. But that Patrick Henry Mechanicsville rivalry, the Tomato Bowl, that's definitely right up there. I'll tell you another one. In the West End, Godwin and Freeman do not like each other very much at all. So there are a lot of rivalries like that, and it's fun to see. And then, you know, last year we saw TJ and Armstrong play in the city when they were both 8-0 and undefeated, and they're going to play in week two this year. They're playing on September the 4th, and there's going to be huge playoff implications on a game that's just 3 days after Labor Day. It's crazy. So, yeah, there are a ton of rivalries. But Verina Highland Springs and the Battle of Chester and the Tomato Bowl are the ones that come to mind first when you think about it.
Yeah, rivalries are what makes high school football. It what defines Friday Night Lights. And nobody knows high school football more than Gary Hess coming into another season with Gary Criswell on the broadcast.
Yeah, we're very – Chris and I had lunch on Friday and then hung out Saturday, and we're very excited to get started with the season. Year 32 for me, year 17 with him, that's just – that's crazy to me, you know, and I think about it. I think about, you know, Sam Rogers, the coach at Hanover, Kevin Tucker, the coach at Thomas Dale, Tim Jean-Pierre, the coach at Hermitage. So many of these guys, Marcus Lewis, the coach at Verina. I called games with all these guys when they were players, and Ken Oxendine was there at Football Fest Saturday. I first experienced Ken when he was like a sophomore or junior playing in the backfield at Virginia Tech at Thomas Dale. So it's yeah, it's amazing how things progress and evolve when you do something like I've done, been privileged to do for so long.
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to a listener who came up to me at Football Fest, and he said, Look, I'm 52 years old, man, but I get so fired up for high school football. He loves the breakdown from you, Gary, and Zach Joachim as well. We have the Touchdown Club of Richmond there. You know, like I said on stage, it's sexy to cover the NFL. Covering college is cool, but the work you do in high school deserves some credit, man.
Well, I appreciate that, but I will say, there's something about Friday Night Lights that is just compelling. It is. And the quality of high school football being played in the 804 has elevated here in the 21st century. And so it's a great thing to do. I have friends who are not in the broadcast business and are not tied to what I do, who they just will text me because, hey, I'm at this game just because that's what they wanted to do on a Friday night in the fall was go check out a high school game. And so it's very exciting. The sound of the band music and the atmosphere and under the lights is just, there's nothing like it. And Coach Chris and I are excited to be a part of it. We'll be still be doing all our social media engagement. And as soon as the squirrel season ends, the Thursday high school walkthrough will be back as well.
And, of course, some guys that you guys got to cover will be playing on Sundays this year in Tyler Warren, Travion Henderson. And we just got some quarterback news. Tyler Warren will be catching passes from Daniel Jones. What do you make of the quarterback battles around the league? Anyone that sticks out to you?
Well, I think that one was interesting. And I think competition is a loose word. I think that job was Daniel Jones's to lose from the day they arrived at training camp. I think there is some question about, listen, Anthony Richardson is immensely talented and athletic, but I think there is some question in among the Colts brass about whether or not he is a long-term solution at the quarterback position. And that's nothing against the kid because, you know, it takes a confluence of things, and it's not one style that's automatic. You know, you look at a guy who can be a pocket style passer that can still work. You look at Jaden Daniels, who's a great thrower, can run with the football, can do a lot of different things that can work too. It's a confluence of events, and it has to do with more than one attribute. It has to do with the players that are around you, the offensive coordinator, and the system that you're being put in. It takes a bunch of dominoes to fall for it to work. And, you know, I think what happened in Washington last year is a great example, Adam. When you draft a guy like Jaden Daniels who has the tangibles and the intangibles, you put a guy like Cliff Kingsbury with him, and you have a head coach that goes, I'm a defensive guy, that's your offense, I'm going to stay out of it. And then you put a guy like a veteran like Austin Ekeler, you have a receiver like a Terry McLaurin, and all the pieces fit together to make it work. And it doesn't always work like that. You can have a guy who's almost as good or just as good as Jaden Daniels. Some other pieces are not in place, and it just doesn't work. So there's a lot to it, and I'll be interested to see what Anthony Richardson makes of this and how he handles this, but I was not the least bit surprised about Daniel Jones. You know, I think there haven't been that many other quarterback battles per se.
The Cleveland one is the one that's top of mind, but I was going to ask you, why has it been so quiet in Tennessee? Are you expecting Cam Ward to make headlines this season at all?
I think that is one of those situations where the periphery has got to fall into place. We know Cam Ward is immensely talented, but, you know, some of the advantages that Jaden Daniels had in D.C. last year may not be in place in Tennessee. I think Cam Ward's going to be the man. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. It's just a matter of how it's all going to work. The Cleveland situation is interesting to me because of the way the draft unfolded, bringing in Dillon Gabriel, then bringing in Shedeur Sanders, having Kenny Pickett there. But, you know, I don't think there was ever any chance that it wasn't going to be Joe Flacco. That, once again, not a surprise at all when that announcement came out.
Driving down Richmond Highway with the czar, Gary Hess, the voice of high school football. We talked some NFL. Now we'll move over to college football. Do you like games being played in Dublin? There was one in about 3 days, Iowa State, Kansas State.
You know, the game was the game in Dublin last year.
Florida State, Georgia Tech.
Which I saw the end of at Football Fest last year. Yeah, I think it's great. I think it makes it something special about, you know, there's five FBS team-involved games in week zero. And I like the fact that there's one in Dublin. Why not play one over there? You get and you know, you have two teams from the same conference. I think it is a I think it's a great advertisement for college football. I think it's a great way to I remember a generation ago, back maybe before you were born, they used to have back before. You know, think about all these games that are played now. You know, you see games played at AT&T Stadium, the games in Atlanta. You know, Virginia Tech's playing in one of those games. That's a doubleheader now. And so you see all these different games. There used to be the kickoff classic. It was one game, and that team would have to get an exemption to be able to play a 12th game instead of an 11-game schedule. And that was like... That was always like the week before everybody else played, and it was like the true kickoff game. UVA played in that game in 1989 against Notre Dame at the Meadowlands, and I went to that game. They didn't do well. The Irish took care of them. I think the Irish might have won the national title that year, but it's to me, I think the Ireland game's a great twist and kind of whets everybody's appetite because, listen, Labor Day weekend, college football is going to be unbelievable. You talk about some of those top 10 matchups and then some of the other really good games that are kind of bubbling beneath the surface. Yeah, I can't wait for Labor Day weekend with college football.
We'll close out with your prediction. We predicted at Football Fest. Last year I said Texas. I said it might have been a year too early. I ran it back. I'm picking Texas. Who do you think wins the college football playoffs?
Wow. You threw me a curve there. I wasn't really prepared for that. Who will win the college football playoff? I think, as I think about it...
Ohio State over Notre Dame last year.
I think I'm going to... it's chalk, and Arch Manning makes it an easy call, but I kind of like Texas as well. I will say I think Clemson is going to be extremely good.
Mm-hmm.
But as good as they're going to be, you know, they have veterans, they have continuity, and those are two words you don't see a lot in college football anymore in this new landscape, which is fine. I mean, it's the way Dabo has chosen. I brought in a couple of cherry pick guys from the transfer portal, but a lot of veterans. I think they're going to be extremely good. I just worry, you know, the ACC is not as good as the SEC or the Big Ten. That's not breaking news. But how battle-tested will Clemson be come playoff time? I think that's going to be a question. So give me Arch Manning and the Longhorns as well.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame will be good again. Ohio State, Penn State.
Notre Dame's got to solve the quarterback question. Still quarterback competition ongoing. Doesn't mean it's a problem. It just means they haven't settled it yet, but they got to make sure they get the right guy, get him in place. But, you know, that when you have running backs like Notre Dame has, that makes any quarterback's job easier.
Gary, always appreciate it, man.
It's fun, man. Can't wait. Football is here.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Let's drive down Richmond Highway with Gary Hess on AWOD Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So we wanted to get back into the Commanders, who are out on the practice field right now. In fact, NBC4 has posted that the Caps head coach Spencer Carberry is in Ashburn taking in Commanders practice alongside assistant GM Lance Newmark and the legend himself, Doug Williams. John Keim reporting. So Dan Quinn went through some of the injuries and guys that are back, like Trey Amos, Brandon Coleman. I didn't hear him say, but we have seen Marcus Mariota's back on the field. That's great news right there.
Good news.
And that means we're getting ready for the end of Sam Hartman era, because Josh Johnson is absolutely quarterback number two. If Mariota's injured, if he's fully back, everybody slides down one, and Marcus returns to QB2 for the start of the regular season. So that was one of the toughest press conferences Dan Quinn's had to deal with since he got here to D.C. because there's so much going on. There's the injury report, right? There's the Brian Robinson situation, whatever you want to call it. He's in an excused absence from practice as they're trying to trade him. And then you have the Terry McLaurin situation, and Dan Quinn did not seem to particularly like this question from Ben Standig. Let's take a listen.
Dan, just to clarify, will we see Terry today out here doing anything?
Not at the practice portion. He had a big part of the run that went along today. I'm not going to play Where's Waldo, guys, all right, moving forward. So just so we're clear on that. So Terry's return to play format is no different than any of the other players. And so I'm not jumping at you, Ben, but I wanted to make sure, like, the next question doesn't go down this line. He's healthy, which is now a good step to, like, getting closer to being back on the field. So you'll see that earlier than later. I don't have a date circled on my whiteboard in my office, this day for him. But, yeah, the good news, we're getting closer to that for sure.
And with Chris Rodriguez.
And it was kind of an interesting answer there. I mean, really kind of an interesting answer, because I'm not saying Dan Quinn's lying, but Terry McLaurin's not in the same boat as Sam Cosmi and some of the other guys working their way back from injury, because there's a contract negotiation going on. That's the difference between him and some of the other guys that are dealing with injuries, trying to make themselves ready for the start of the regular season. I thought that was very interesting. I mean, kind of did take all his anger out on Ben Standing right there with the Where's Waldo comment. I think it was a fair question. Were we going to see Terry McLaurin on the practice field? You said he was back at practice. We want to see him, because he was on the practice field the week before and he was in just a hoodie. He was talking with Adam Peters. We all hoped there would be an update, and there was no update. And there have been several reports that have come out today that said Terry McLaurin's agent is seeking more than DK Metcalf. He's simply getting bad advice, and it's frustrating me, and I think you just started to hear it's starting to frustrate the head coach, because they're getting to the point where they need to make a decision. They can say, oh, yeah, he's ramping back up, and you know, the timing is right for him to get back to his speed, his acceleration, ready for week one. But the point is, they have to make a decision if he's not going to accept the contract that they're offering him or play on the current one that he has right now. It's an annoying situation. I hate to talk about it, but I did think that was quite interesting there, that it was the first time you saw maybe some animosity, a little bit of anger there from Dan Quinn in a fair line of question. Totally a fair line of question. Everybody's saying Terry McLaurin's back. Well, will we see him today? I didn't really get an answer from Dan Quinn either. He's ramping it up. He's not going to be on the practice field because he's working on the side field or because he's working with the training staff.
I'm prepping for another injury quote or something to fake come up. I don't know if I fully believe he's ramping up, as is being said.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Tomorrow's a big practice. Tomorrow's a big practice. It would have been the joint practice against the Baltimore Ravens. Instead, like you mentioned, they will have referees at the facility. I think they're going to do like an inter-squad scrimmage like they did last Tuesday, in which Jaden and the offense didn't look good. But in the real preseason game, they did. So could be another opportunity for Jaden and the offense to look good. But also, they need to run it back, because the joint practice they did, Brian Robinson Jr. got every snap with the ones. And that's why this whole thing shocked me. If they saw this coming, why would they not have given another opportunity to Corey Kroski-Merritt or Chris Rodriguez? Why was it Brian Robinson on one side, Dietrich Felton on the other side? I trust Adam Peters, but it's hard to understand the process of how they've gone about finding this year's starting running back. If you knew it wasn't going to be Brian Robinson in February, why didn't you draft one earlier than the 7th round? Maybe his answer is, we had Kroski-Merritt Bill as a 3rd-round draft pick, and he just fell to us at 7.
I mean, people are talking about him like he is.
Yeah, I mean, they still have Austin Ekeler. It's just going to be very interesting to see the way that this plays out week one. I would be kind of shocked if Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt is given the keys to the franchise as the lead running back week one for this season, that we know how important this season is.
With the Giants' D-line, this is one of the bigger tests for the run game.
Oh, yeah. Especially being able to pass protect, right? That's why I don't think that Bill would be ready. Could they start Chris Rodriguez? Last year's 4th quarter man. Is he ready for the first quarter of games this season? He looked good against the Bengals. Their defense is not great, though. I do think he provides a similar style to Brian Robinson Jr. Maybe they hope that he can have more breakaway speed. It's just, it doesn't really make sense to me to move on from B-Rob to C-Rod. Unless the plan is B-Rob gone, C-Rod weeks 1 through 4, and then it's Bill season.
I think that Peters and Cliff aren't that worried about non-O-line members run blocking.
Right.
It was such a big part before, but our O-line is so good, I think that they have just...
And John Bates is not blocking.
Yeah.
I think that's still a big part of it, all right? I do, because when you have Jaden, you have to protect. I think the bigger picture perspective is, like, Cliff Kingsbury does not like to even run the football. Like, if Cliff Kingsbury had his way, it might be like 40 pass attempts a game.
Did he not like to run it because he didn't trust B-Rob?
No, he just has never liked to run. I felt like last year they ran the ball so much because that was Anthony Lynn, the running backs coach, making sure they run the football, and also Dan Quinn making sure Cliff didn't forget. But, like, Cliff Kingsbury's always been air raid.
Right.
Right? Spread it out and pass the football. And Brian Robinson's not a spread it out running back. I just feel like there might have been a disconnect between what Cliff wanted to do and what Adam Peters wanted to do, because if Cliff really got his way, they probably should have signed a free agent running back or drafted a running back back when the draft happened before 7th-round pick Jacory Kroski-Merritt. That's just my take on this. But again, I trust this front office because I just think that they're doing it the right way. And I like what they're doing. And I like every move they've made so far. It's just, you know, I think you can start to question things a little bit in terms of what they're doing at the running back position. Maybe we just don't realize how good Bill's going to be when the regular season gets here.
Is he like a Puka Nacua?
Right?
Just,
or maybe
7th round to the
Jeremy McNichols is going to be awesome. I mean, you're replacing a guy that had 187 carries last year. That's a lot of carries, but it's also 26th in the National Football League. So 25 teams had their starting running back get more carries. Shows you they like to run the football. They also had Eckler. You know, I think this might have really just, at the end of the day, it came down to, are we really going to hand the ball off to B-Rob 8 times a game for when we know it's not going to do anything? And it becomes more of an obvious handoff with B-Rob back there. With anybody else back there, I think you can almost trick the defense into thinking it's a throw, right? With B-Rob back there, it just felt like they're going to put it in his gut and he's going to go forward for 1 or 2 yards. It was too obvious almost that was the move with Brian Robinson as the team's starting running back. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. If you want to chime in, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So we mentioned we were going to get back into Bill Barnwell's article in which he predicts five teams for declines this season, looking at teams that are most likely to improve, and then looking at a more pessimistic approach, teams he thinks are most likely to decline, to regress, to take a step back this year. Now, we've talked about this at length this offseason. Are we on the same page, Stubb, in terms of regression? Like, Minnesota's the team I feel like will regress the most. 14-3, no way they do that again with a rookie quarterback.
I am with you that Viking will be the biggest step back.
Yeah. And it pissed me off that the Commanders are on this list. But I understand when you're 12-5 and you won a lot of games by one score or less. It just pisses me off because I feel like there's other teams that are more in line to regress. I mean, I would say Green Bay more likely than Washington. We got a way better quarterback situation than they do. Minnesota's the obvious one. Detroit's another one. When you win 15 games, you and Kansas City won 15 games. You really win 15 games again this year. Anything less than that is a step back, and I think it could be a bigger step back than Washington. There's just so many other teams I would point to. But this is what Bill Barnwell had to say about Washington. Jaden Daniels' rookie campaign was phenomenal, and he's absolutely worthy of being in preseason MVP conversations. Last season, the Commanders posted an 87 conversion rate on fourth down, which is outstanding, and played a huge role in them having a 12-5 record. That kind of success is hard to duplicate. They're a playoff team for sure, just with fewer wins this season. I think he's kind of walking back picking Washington then, right? Like, if they're 12-5, and then if he's saying they're a playoff team, how many wins does that mean he's predicting? If you're a playoff team, that's 10 wins at the least, because 10 wins has actually held teams out of the playoffs in recent years.
Yeah, because we're not going to win the division with 9.
Right?
It's not going to be one of those weird seasons.
So,
like
that. Is he saying they're going to be 11-6, and that's one of the five biggest declines in the NFL? Make it make sense. Everybody's picking Washington because it's the sexy pick in terms of regression, because nobody expected them to be good last year, and it was the first time in 30 years that they actually made it to the conference championship game. I just don't think that your reasoning makes sense if you still feel like they're a playoff team. If you want to predict the Commanders to regress, then put your damn statement on the line and say they won't make the playoffs.
The
right?
People saying we're going to regress are the same people saying that the Texans regressed last year, which is something
with
we both
wins.
Challenged.
Right.
10 wins and a playoff win.
Yeah.
They won a playoff game. To say that they regressed is always crazy.
Yeah. So 12 wins, and you're going to make the playoffs the following year, but it's regression. All right. 11 wins, fine. 10 wins, fine with me. As long as we're in the playoffs, I'm happy. Again, I'm 32 years old. I've never seen that happen for my football team. Never. At 30, we haven't made the playoffs back-to-back years. We had 2015, then we had 2017. We had 2020, and then we had 2024. Right? You can go back to 92, 93 is the last time we made it 2 years in a row. That's how long it's been. Since we just at least give ourselves an opportunity to win the Super Bowl. Because that's all you have to do. The damn Giants proved twice. If you just get in the playoffs with a decent quarterback, you got a shot to win it. You just got to get into the playoffs. And that's the goal for the Commanders. So if they're one of the five teams that decline most this season but still get in the playoffs, so be it. I do not care at all. There are 17 games, 18 weeks of the regular season. I want to see the Washington Commanders suit up for week 19 or week 20 if we win the division and we get home field advantage and we don't even have to play in wild card weekend. Right? There's a chance we're so good we don't even have to play week 19 wild card weekend in the NFL this season. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. I usually really like Bill Barnwell's work. And maybe I'm just in my feelings about the Commanders being on this list. I don't understand how that's one of the top five teams that declines this season if they're still a playoff team.
The Saints won 5 games last year, and I could see them going down further.
Yeah, that's actually a good point
game.
Right there. They're going to be pretty bad. There's a lot of teams that you can point to. Seattle could take a major step back.
I'm right? definitely eyeing Seattle. With Sam Darnold, no DK Metcalf.
What did Seattle finish with last year? Did they get to 10?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Remember, a 10.
That's what I'm talking about. 10 wins is not secured playoffs anymore with the 17-game schedule. So Seahawks won 10 games. I could see them winning 6 this year.
Yeah.
They're taking a big risk giving Sam Darnold a lot of money.
And like DK
and
Metcalf's
they traded
gone.
DK.
It's just not... Oof. I don't have... Who's the running back in Seattle even?
Kenneth Walker. I do like Kenneth Walker. And Zach Charbonnet plays a lot because Walker never stays healthy. But at wide receiver, they need Cooper Kupp to have a resurgence.
Yeah,
I've never been the biggest Jackson Smith and Jigba fan.
I
think he's kind of just a guy.
And it was like Sam Darnold used to throw into Justin Jefferson.
Right.
And now...
Right. A lot of last season was Sam Darnold throwing it up in double coverage and Justin Jefferson coming down with it. And then
the defense.
And then the Vikings defense was elite. And that's a big question. Will they be as good defensively this year? That's why I see them going from 14 wins to like 10, and I could see Seattle going from 10 to like 6.
Yeah, like it's like the last year of Bill Belichick with the Patriots, fantastic defense. Well, they won 4 games.
Right. Right.
Super possible.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. There's always seems to go from last to first every single year. How about like I wouldn't be completely shocked if the Chargers took a step back. What if Herbert gets hurt? They don't got a solution
after
there.
That playoff performance.
There's a lot of people that are kind of out on Herbert already. I believe the Bucs will win that division again, but you could see the Bucs taking a step back from a 10-win team last year.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Evans is fantastic. He's only getting older.
The
I mean, Bucky Irving's awesome.
The more obvious one, even though I'm not going to say I support this because I'm rooting for Aaron Rodgers, but that could be a disaster. That could be a 10-7 team that fires their coach the next year and wins 5 games. Like, I will root for Mike Tomlin. We had a caller yesterday, wants him fired before the season even begins. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Thanks to our new producer, Jeremy Stubb, for running the ones and twos. Grant and Danny coming up next from Washington, D.C.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.